This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mikey P, Squid Billy hanging out here on this Friday morning. It's a Fair Foul Friday, which will be hosted by none other than Dylon. Coming up at 7:40, we also got Rusty hanging out with us. Got Grant McCauley that'll be posted up answering some of my Braves questions, like why Hector Neris in the seventh inning, why Grant Holmes in the eighth, why Aaron Bummer didn't pitch longer, why Dylan Lee didn't pitch longer.
Okay. Yeah, we also have CBS's Evan Washburn, who does the NFL and college basketball live from, I believe, Indianapolis.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to catch
at
up
8:40.
With him.
So we're literally going to hit every hot topic because there's Falcons news today, Mike. We'll get to later.
Interesting Falcon news.
Yeah, and I don't know if it means what you think it means, but it could mean what you think it means. But it could mean something else, too.
All right.
I'm going to try to explain that because it's one of those deals where I know just enough to make me dumber than I actually am about it.
Yeah.
Then there's obviously the Braves stuff, and then there's NCAA tournament where, last night the Sweet 16 kicked off. Did the Bama game start before the Florida game?
Yes.
Because everything I read that the Florida game was starting first, but I get home from MGA, I'm watching the last 5 minutes of the first half of Florida, Maryland, and the Bama game's already at halftime, and by the time that game went to halftime, your game, the Bama game, Bama BYU, was starting the second half, and dude, Alabama looked as good as I've seen them look all year to open the second half against BYU.
Yeah, they've been frustrating at times, I think. And one of my buddies who is, he's actually a Penn State fan, so he hits me up yesterday. He's like, I'm in a survivor pool. What's your confidence level in Bama tonight? I was like, dude, you're asking a Bama guy about Bama basketball who literally almost never, it feels like, comes through in clutch moments like this. They have recently. Yeah. They have recently under Nate Oates, but I was like, I don't feel great. I'd give it, 60% chance. Bama was 4.5-point favorites. But the thing about Bama, and, this is what I think people have to understand, first and foremost, keeping our eyes on all the tournament stuff, and shout out to everybody in town that's going to be going to the regionals tonight at State Farm Arena. But Bama is a dangerous team when they can shoot from the perimeter. They have, smaller guard in Mark Sears that when he's dribble to drive, when he's in the lane, can kind of get his stuff beat up a little bit. When he can drive and kick it back out and penetrate and kick it back out and they're actually hitting their shots, they're as dangerous as any team in the country. The problem is there has been a lot of times this year where they've just simply kind of out-athleted you and not hit their shots. And I think that's why they've kind of fallen behind the radar. That's why they were a two seed instead of being a one as they were projected all year. And in some of those stretch games they played, they weren't hitting shots. And then last night, holy crap.
And BYU's not
holy
bad.
Crap.
BYU's a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are.
I've had people reach out to me and tell me that BYU is kind of decided, and I'd be interested in get my guy Brett Jukes his take on this, for, you know, from A&B group. But they seem like they've kind of gone all in, and like college, they're like, hey, our hoops program NIL wise, we need to be one of the top tier programs.
Yeah,
and I don't blame them. I mean, everybody's got to find something that, you know, there's not a lot of schools that can be good at football, baseball, and basketball and win titles and all. Those are three sports that you're normally really, really good in one. The fact that Alabama has had a Final Four team and a team that's made the – and a Final Four college football playoff team and what both of in the last couple of years is incredible.
Yeah. Did both last season.
Yeah. So I think Nate Oates is a hell of a coach. I respect that program. Last night, other than – and even the Texas Tech-Arkansas game, which I know we need to get to, the SEC showed why they had seven schools in the Sweet 16. They showed why they had 14 in the tournament altogether. And they showed why they're the best conference in college basketball in the last 25, 30 years. Florida decided to toy and play with their food last night. In the first half, they got in foul trouble and they had like 16 turnovers.
That's exactly what they did last round, by the way. Dang.
Yes, but I think UConn, I'm probably gonna get some heat, but I think UConn is a better team overall than Maryland.
More well coached, which we'll get to Kevin Willard in a minute.
They're more well coached, but I also think I think Maryland – well, one thing that changed last night is Gillespie got in foul trouble early in the second half.
Yeah.
And when he did that, Florida got a little aggressive. Give Todd Golden credit because Condon gets injured in the first half. Looks like he's never coming back. He re-injured his ankle that he hurt earlier in the season against, I believe – I want to say Arkansas, but I could be off on that. But he re-injures it. Then you – so you had Hall had to Hawk, I think how you pronounce his name, H-A-U-G-H. He had to come in and kind of play a lot more than he's used to. Still a good player. Florida's depth showed. But when the second half, when they stopped turning the ball over, they only had like four turnovers in the second half. They stopped turning the ball over, Mike. They stopped fouling, and they started penetrating a little bit. They used Chinyelu a little bit inside, and they just – then that opened up the outside, and then they started knocking down threes, and they just – they just really poured it on Maryland.
Yeah, Florida, they did. They looked impressive. And I've said all along that Florida will be one of my favorites to actually win the thing. I have not, and I am what I am. I'm a Bama alum, but I have not been picking Alabama to win this tournament, especially due to the fact that they're going to have to play Duke. What was that? What did that be on Saturday? That's a terrifying matchup, especially when you look at what Cooper Flagg was able to do last night. But because I think Florida is one of the teams that's so well-rounded and so athletic and so well coached, they can beat you almost any way they choose to on any given night. They have shooters. They have big men. They can physical you. And I think the physicality is one of the things that I think has not separated the Alabamas of the world from the field at times. You know, I think Nate Oates actually said it last week. He's like, nobody's worried about like the physicality. Nobody's thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to get away from Alabama and their physicality. Like, it is what it is. I think Florida does have that element, though.
Well, the thing that I give Todd Golden is when he's gone into the transfer portal and got guys like Walter Clayton Jr. and Martin and I believe Aberdeen as well is a transfer who's one of their backup guards. He's done it front and backcourt. Like Ham Glotton is a guy that tore his I think it was his ACL last year in the SEC tournament, and he was going to redshirt this year, Mike. Yeah. He was literally going to redshirt until Condon rolled his ankle earlier in the season. He burns the red shirt, Ham Glotton got in trouble last year, but you were able to use him, last night. But Hawk, who is a 6'10", I believe, freshman who can handle the ball, he can shoot from the outside, and he can go inside. Chinyelu is a guy. Like, so the depth, front court, back court, they have depth everywhere, and it really came into play last night against Maryland, who Julian Reese is a pretty good player, but he's not – out of this world. Queen is a freshman who, I'm going to tell you something, Kevin Willard either needs to take Queen with him or stay, because that guy's phenomenal.
Did you see Kevin Willard getting booed during their walk-in, or maybe it was when they're leaving the hotel or when they're walking in the arena? I'm not sure. But he's getting just absolutely booed by some of the fan video. And I get it. I understand, like, you know, the rumors are out there of him going to Villanova, and he definitely side-skirted the question last night. But he's also in a spot where he doesn't have an AD right now. The AD's gone, and he's just, like, saying whatever he wants
to
at the podium.
Well, he had run him off, too, by
the
way.
Yeah, and ding. But the thing is, you know, I think that it's probably better for him to just separate either way. Even if his mind wasn't made up last night, the fan base looks over him. It's hard to come back from that when you're talking so bad about a program and about a situation to actually continue to still recruit guys to come there. It's like, hey, you should come here. It's really cool. They're like, what about what you said, you know, about what you guys, you know, travel situation was and everything like that.
But look, I understand you when you're somewhere where you're putting everything in and you're absolutely competing with money.
Yes.
And you're not getting that input.
Yes.
Then why stay? And Maryland is a basketball program. To me, I grew up with Maryland being a good basketball program. And I think that they're a school to me where they should go all in on basketball, because football is an uphill battle for them. And it's always going to be. So why not put money into the basketball program, which has a tradition? You had Steve Francis win a national title there back in, I think it was 2000 and two?
I don't know.
I think it was 2002 or three. Anyways, regardless, it doesn't matter.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real quick, Texas Tech, Arkansas. Arkansas had a lead. Texas Tech storms back. They go to overtime. Arkansas misses a shot. Calipari exits after a Sweet 16. I wanted to get to this game because this was probably this was the premier game all night as far as the best game played.
It definitely was. You had overtime, which I thought was incredible to watch. And credit to Arkansas, man. They definitely overachieved at the end of the year. They got hot at the right time. It was really nice for them to be a part of the Sweet 16. I don't think as a 10 seed many people expected it. But look, that's John Calipari and the situation that he walked into and the situation of what college basketball is now. Able to pull off a little bit of a run and almost knock off number 3 Texas Tech last night to make it to the Elite Eight. So you got to give credit to Arkansas where credit is due. And also credit for Texas Tech. They took a lot of shots right there on the chin throughout the game. You know, we're down by 7 at halftime. We're able to finally pull even right there at the last minute and then win it in overtime. So I think it's a big deal when you talk about Texas Tech. And then, of course, the other game, which we touched on a second ago a little bit, Duke is able to pull off a win at the last minute. I think Arizona pulled within like 4 or 5 with a couple of minutes left. Cooper Flagg is in his own dimension, dude. Like, is it an absolute own dimension last night? No look passes, no look alley hoops, block shots where he's landing in the front row, trash talking. Like, he's doing it all last night. And Cooper Flagg is somebody that obviously when we talk about the top of the draft, There was a part of me, and I'm a huge Zachary Risa-Shea fan, but I'm watching Cooper Flagg last night, and I'm going, man, did the Hawks miss by 1 year on winning the draft lottery?
That
first overall pick.
We've talked about this. Yeah. And I love, and I look, Zachary Risa-Shea is our guy.